brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview being part of the program. You can get some great Hawaiian opportunities out there at Crestview. The Golf Shop, Paul, has lots of good shirt options and plenty of festive ones to get in the mood for these Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. We appreciate Crestview's support. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Paul, college football, I want to get your thoughts on K-State. We'll do that in the next segment. Just generally speaking, you're a college football junkie. It has been chaotic. The first couple of weeks of the season, we've had tons and tons and tons and tons of upsets. This is the transfer portal. This is a good thing, I think. In conjunction with a 12-team playoff, it's an even better thing, right? Because teams that have these early stumbles, their seasons aren't over, and they may end up being the best teams by the end. They'll get a chance to prove it. But as we've seen anything so far, I'll give you an example.
All right.
And I'll ask you for your biggest eye-opening Texas appears to be very for real and a national contender, even in the SEC for the first year for me. Quinn Ewers looks unbelievable. Quinn Ewers looks like the guy at one point who was this elite quarterback prospect in a rung you don't see all that often, and then it got off to a rocky start. Man, he looks fantastic. They appear to be all the way back. I mean, if you're a KU or K-State fan, kind of glad they're gone. You know, as much as that hurt the league financially, as far as on the field, you're kind of glad they're out of there this year. I think they've made the biggest splash / statement, however you want to say it, early in this college football season. So as far as biggest takeaway, I think that's it for me. What's it been for you?
Well, I think you're probably right when it comes to Texas. Let me just say that they haven't played anybody yet. And I know you're saying, hold on just a second, they played Michigan. Well, Michigan stinks. Michigan's head coach will be gone before the end of the year. Michigan is not a good football team. So Texas is, I think, going to be fine. I think they're going to be good. Who they played? Colorado State, I believe, was the first game. Then they played Michigan. And in our Friday picks, if last week, I made the statement that Texas is going to play Michigan, and Michigan stinks. And I know there were several of you guys that took Michigan. I thought to myself, this is the dumbest pick you guys will ever make. And so with that being said, Texas will be good. Ewers, it will be good. Ewers has already now kind of moved himself right up into the top two or three in terms of the Heisman, hasn't he? I mean, he's already there. In fact, I believe I heard a commentator over the weekend mentioned the name Ewers and Heisman all in the same sentence. So I think that's where we're headed. But some of my takeaways are we've never seen a year quite like this where I'm going to make a bold prediction that by the end of the year, there'll be two coaches gone before the year's out. One will be at Michigan and one will be at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame, did you watch any of that game? Because I probably watched half that game because I found it fascinating because it was like, can't take your eyes off of a car wreck. You know what I mean? You're driving by, you can't take your eyes. I mean, I could. Yeah. It was a total, wreck that game. And it was kind of, I was watching and I was thinking, well, there's no way, even as poorly as Notre Dame's playing there at home, they're not going to lose that game. And they lost. I make a prediction, two coaches, Michigan and Notre Dame, will relieve their coaches of their duties before the end of the season. Now with
Derby's own Sharon Moore there at Michigan. Certainly hope that doesn't happen.
I hope that's not the case, but they're not a good football team, I don't believe. We'll see what happens. But anyway, with that being – well, let me put it this way. Good is relative when you're the University of Michigan. Good is relative when you're Notre Dame. Good is a different good than if you're at KU or K-State. It's a different good. It's a different standard for good. Would you not agree with that at least? I think you probably would.
Sure.
But with that being said, my other takeaways are is that I think the SEC is going to be just fine. I think the
SEC looks really good.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think they do. I have questions about the Big Ten at this point right now. I've got a question about numerous teams. I don't know if that's going to be the powerhouse conference that we think it'll be. Now, I'm not saying that Ohio State's not going to be bad. I think they're going to be fine. But there's not going to be, four or five teams that are going to be outstanding in that league that I have seen yet. Iowa got beat by Iowa State in the last few seconds of a game with a field goal. So I don't know where that league stands. The ACC, I think is probably, I mean, when you take Florida State and when you take Clemson and both those teams aren't very good, those are kind of the guidelines for a good conference. So my feelings are right now, I think the Big 12 is going to be a good conference, but I don't know who's going to win the Big 12. I don't know who's going to be the best team in the Big 12. And I'm thinking to myself that the Big 12 champion could have two losses. I don't know. I don't think it'll be three, but there's always that chance. So my takeaway is that there is a lot of good teams, not great teams, good teams. Georgia, great team. Georgia, probably national champion. I've seen nothing from Georgia that would make me say they won't win the national champion. Right now, it's theirs for the taking, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they got a good quarterback and they always have a good defense. I think that we're ripe for a lot of teams being good. I think the transfer portal does that. I think we'll always have these elite teams, but I think it's been good so far. Mm-hmm. And I know it's been stressful so far for a lot of teams, especially a lot of teams that have high expectations. Of course, Kansas is one of those teams. K-State is one of those teams. I get it. But we saw Oklahoma get put on the ropes. We saw Alabama get put on the ropes last weekend. We've seen Florida State crumble. You mentioned Notre Dame. I mean, it's been team after Oregon was on the ropes against Boise at home last week. Oh, like it's over and over and over and over again. I do think Georgia's going to get tested probably this year by a team they shouldn't. They seem the most likely. If a team's going to run it through, it probably will be them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But what does that mean when you get into a 12-team playoff and everybody would be seemingly clicking on all cylinders at that point? You know, they are right now, but will they be later?
Well,
and that's where I think, you know, it's fine. Maybe Georgia is that juggernaut, Paul. Maybe that's what they are this year. They certainly have been in the past.
Look good.
But it's still going to be a better year because there's so much other interesting stuff happening all around the country. I love it. I think it's been awesome. I think it's been nerve-wracking, though, Paul, and that brings us to K-State. Survived Tulane. Survived. KU is the better team than Illinois and lost anyway. K-State, it feels like they survived that game. They can't do that again against Arizona. They probably can't do that again the rest of the way on their schedule, you know, if they want to win all the games, which I'll say it again. I don't think that's going to happen for any Big 12 team this year. This is not technically speaking, it's not a Big 12 game this weekend. So we look at K-State now, and I don't think they blew anybody away with their week one performance in the cupcake game. They certainly didn't against Tulane, even though Tulane's, to your credit, Paul, you were right. They're better than maybe we thought they'd be. K-State's got to be better than they've played, though. And I don't know, almost in a parallel to KU, I do think we need to reshift what the team is, what the identity of the team is this year. Wyatt Thompson was confident the defense could get back on track, but man, we got to see it, right? We got to see too many big plays, too many scratch your head moments with the secondary of like, are you kidding me? Like, how do they keep running wide open on these chunk plays like this? They're keeping right now, K-State's offense is staying off the field because the defense can't get the other team off the field. If K-State's really good and up to their potential this year, it'll be because their offense is fantastic, Paul. They got to be able to get them on the field more often.
Well, and there are some questions that I have with regards to the offense for K-State, just like I know you've got probably the same questions that I have. But, you know, you got Arizona. We'll know a lot more about this team after that game. You go to you have that game. I believe it's a home game. It is a home game for K-State. It's going to be fun to see what happens in that game. I've got to watch that game just to get a feel. You know, isn't it interesting, too, that it's taken us 2 weeks to figure out who's who, what's what? You know, the portal has changed so much about what we think, about who's coming back, who's new, who's stepping in, who's gone. I mean, the portal is really one of those things. These are the moments where, and I know you and I – like the portal for the effect that it has for young men, for their ability to make money on this sport that they love. But it throws us off. It's thrown me off, and it's taken me 2 full weeks. And I feel like I'll even have a better feel for who's who, what's what, who's going to be where after this next coming weekend. And I like that feeling. But see, it's taken me two weeks to figure this stuff out, some of this. It has.
I don't think you will have that. I think it's been so important to get 12 teams in, and why I think it's, you know, let's break it into two parts.
All right.
Transfer portal. We're both fond of it.
Yeah.
We both like the idea of it. We both like the idea of kids who were promised one thing and not getting what they were promised, being able to move on and do their thing at the core of it. Has it gone out of control? Yeah, it has, but they'll get it regulated. So at the core, if you like that, what that's going to do, Paul, is have a lot of questions for just about every team to answer in the beginning part of a season. So while we've watched 2 weeks and we'll watch the third week, I don't think we're going to have a real good sense of who the best teams are, at least not in the middle, right? We might know who the four or five very best teams are, but for the remainder, for the at-larges, let's call them, I don't think we'll know until, honestly, we get pretty close to, you know, to nut-cutting time and we get there, because all these teams are so new that it's going to take a while, right? For teams to be gelling at the right time. So while I'm trying to think of a good example of this, while Notre Dame, right? Let's start that. While Notre Dame lost a head scratcher to Northern Illinois, which if you'll recall, Paul, PJ Glasser, our betting insider last week, told us to watch that game. Does that mean they're not one of the better teams in the country? I don't know. But I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, in November, if nobody wants to play Notre Dame because they appear to be one of the best teams in the country. You know what I mean? Like some of these really good teams who have stumbled and who we thought were going to be really good probably are really good. You know, like they probably are a really good team, but they're not there yet. And in a 12 team, and maybe Notre Dame was a bad example because their path's not quite as clear, but in a 12 team, we should, by the end of it, be able to get those teams there. That's what I'm excited about. Like, who are the teams right now that we don't think of as some of the best that are going to end up actually being some of the best? I think that's why the regular season will be better, is because we get this longer period of time now to try and figure that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. The most fascinating thing about the playoffs for me, who are the final five teams in? I think that, you know, I mean, that's going to be fascinating. And sure. How do you decide who that is? Will one of the classifications for that decision be, well, who's playing really well at the end of the season? Or who is the most overall successful team
year? I think it will, because, you know, we might want to sit here and say, well, it's the entire body of work. But we were given a perfect example last year through Florida State of the committee taking an absolute human element who do we think it is, because Florida State was, based on a body of work, it wasn't even debatable. But because they lost their quarterback, the committee thought, well, they're not any longer. So absolutely that's going to be a factor late. Who do they think is playing the best right now? Who do they think is? Because if their job, and look, it's a tough job. They get a lot of grief. But you're being asked to basically decide who you think the 12 best teams are. That's a very subjective exercise.
It is, yes.
Right? You could easily make it a computer decision and say, okay, it's X number of losses now because there are enough teams. Who had the toughest strength of schedule? A computer can tell you that, but that's not what they want to do. So they do bring a human element to it. So yeah, look, if Notre Dame and another team both have three losses and they're on the bubble, but Notre Dame has lit the world on fire at the end, even though maybe they haven't played as tough a schedule, they're probably putting them in because they think that's the better team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about that yet. I got to see it happen. I'm not going to give you a strong take on how I feel about that, because I think Florida State got screwed last year. But Paul, the committee was probably right. You know, they probably got that right. Was there justice served or anything like that? No. But was Florida State at that point one of the four best teams? Probably not.
Probably not. Not knowing what we know now.
And it aggravates me that they didn't get in. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to change now in a 12 team, but if we're being honest with it. I mean, you know, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
It's annoying, and it was dumb and stupid and all those things, but it was probably right.
Right. There are people that have been saying, and you take Boise State, for instance. Boise State has been used, you know, prior to the season actually starting as one of those teams that will probably get in like the 12, you know, one of those top 12 teams that will be in the play. And at this point now I look and I watched Boise State this weekend play a little bit. And let me tell you, that's a good football team. They're going to be in. They're going to be in.
Yeah,
that's
are.
One
they're
of those. Good. That's going to be one of those football teams that will be in. And one of those football teams you don't want to play. There's going to be a lot of teams in major conferences that don't want to play Boise State.
I will not be stunned if it's Boise and Tulane competing for that last next best, you know, conference champion kind of a spot. I think they'll both be in the mix.
You know,
maybe we're overstepping it because we watched them and we're biased, and that's
right.
Totally possible.
Right.
But I'm with you. I fell asleep to the Boise game. I'll be honest with everybody.
Well, that's okay.
Not because it wasn't thrilling. It was thrilling. It was just really, really late.
That's right.
It was a long day. But yeah, I watched a lot of that game, and Boise State did look really good.
Right.
I mean, Oregon, there's a good example of a team, Paul. Oregon.
Yeah.
They got put on the ropes at home against Boise State. Does it look right now like they're one of the top four or five teams in the country?
No, I'm going to say no, but I know you're going to probably say yes.
No, I'm going to say no, too.
Oh, are you?
But
okay.
What I'm going to say is, are you going to be surprised at all if they are at the end of the season?
No, not really.
I mean, they certainly have the talent to be. There you go. I mean, look, it's going to be a fun year. I love it. K-State, Paul, we'll finish this part of the conversation with them. What's the ceiling? Has your ceiling adjusted at all for them based on what we've seen for the first 2 weeks? You still think this is Big 12 contender? Utah lost a quarterback. Arizona hasn't looked good either. We saw Kansas lose. Who's the other one? Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's probably made the biggest statement so far, beating Arkansas like they did, even though they didn't play particularly well early. Have you adjusted at all with K-State and your expectations?
A little bit. I mean, I've been forced to. I didn't want to, but I've been forced to. I think we'll know a lot more about K-State after this game with Arizona. Arizona's a good football team, solid. They're going to come in, and they're going to be a big-time football program in the Big 12.
I mean, they beat Northern Arizona at home by 12. They scored 22 points.
Yeah, here's that NIL gathering up and, you know, getting to know each other thing that I think it is. But with that being said, Tulane also was, you know, I think an opportunity for Kansas State to show what they can do. And Tulane was better than we thought, obviously. By the way, is that stadium a dump? I've never been there. Have you ever been there?
That's what I've heard. No, I haven't been there. I've never been to New Orleans, actually. No, I have not been there.
Okay.
That quarterback was awesome.
Yeah, that was a big time. You know, really, that's a first year head coach. And
if you have eyeballs, you can see that quarterback's good.
That's right.
He was good.
He was.
I think they're fine. I wonder. To me, this is the biggest game of the year, not just because both teams are ranked and the implications are so high, just because I think it really does give us a chance to see K-State. What I want to see is K-State play well, and I'm not even talking win or lose here, just play well, because I don't think they've played particularly well in either of the first 2 weeks. They're 2-0. But it just doesn't feel like they're anywhere close to their potential yet.
Oh,
whereas,
oh,
let's take KU on the other side, maybe as an example. Outside of Jalen Daniels, I think we're absolutely seeing KU play as well as we thought. And so for K-State, I don't know that we've seen really at any level them play up to their potential. So that's what I want to see. Like, what is the best of K-State? Because we have not seen it, not even close, in the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking forward to.
And then,
how does that stack up if they can play that style of football?
Because if I was to come on this radio show over the years and say Tulane will be as physical, if not more physical, than Kansas State, you would have laughed me out of the studio, wouldn't you? You'd have said, you're crazy.
Yeah, totally, but they are. I mean, there's no question they are.
That's right. So with that being said, that's where the worry is, because sometimes it becomes difficult to coach up physical. You know, a lot of times you either have it or you don't. But, you know, there's things a coach can do to, you know, drills and that kind of, you know, explosion drills off the line, those kind of things. You do those kind of things. But the University of Kansas, and I made the comment with Sharice, I said, you know, it looked like to me that this offensive line is better than it's been in a while. A long while. It seemed more physical. They were able to run the ball at times with ease at times. And that's the one thing that I like about Kansas. That's why at this point, I need to be convinced by K-State just how good this football team can be. Because if it can't be physical, then it can't be Kansas State football. Because Kansas State football goes to the bank every Saturday on being a little more physical than the next guy. And when they're not, it usually does not work well for Kansas
State.
There's
a chance that that's not the identity of this team. Possibility totally exists.
What?
And if that exists, then they're going to need to be one of the more explosive offenses in the conference.
Well, thank you for that, because I did not see any indication that that was.
No, that's what I mean. We haven't seen that yet either.
Okay.
And I think, you know, with Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards added to the offense, I think we could see it. All right. So here's something cool.
We've
mentioned this before. We have this new feature on the Odyssey app where listeners can leave. It's essentially like leaving a voicemail or a voice text. There's like a little microphone icon on there if you listen to the show through the app. And you can record something and send it to us. Now, we have told you about that a couple of times. We've not had one of these yet. Jad says we got one from Ron. So this is a voice message on the Odyssey app. Ron left this probably through his phone. Jad gets it and can now take it to the air. I have no idea what this is going to say,
right,
but Jad says we have one. Let's roll the dice here. Jad, what did Ron have to say in his message?
Why don't KFH or HTO come out with Hawaiian merch?
Wow.
Listen.
Oh, my goodness. I love
I can. HTO has t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure, but listen, tomorrow, Paul, you'll be in with Tommy because I have to go down to a big important corporate meeting with them, and maybe I should propose that. Why don't we have a Hawaiian? I will propose it just for you, Ron. And just down the hall there, Paul, is Tony Dusing's office.
Right.
And maybe you do need to stop by.
I will.
We're always looking for branded swag. Why don't we throw a case?
Right.
Andy Reid does it.
Right.
Andy Reid just like irons on Chief stuff to his best Hawaiians. And that's what he wears every day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I need you to stop by Tony's office, Paul, and make this happen.
Next break, I'm heading right over there. It's right down the hall.
I'll
have an answer on
it. So excited. Tony's going to be so excited that somebody used that voice message feature. Let that be some of your ammunition to get this done, Paul.
I'll have a report for you on the other side of this break, what Tony said.
There's that for a tease. Thank you. Thank you, Ron, for doing that. By the way, it's easy. On the Odyssey app, there's a little microphone. Just do it. That's first time. So a maiden voyage there. Nice job, Ron. Good idea. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to come back. We'll hit on some of the other headlines here around the sports world in our last full segment of Sports Daily. Don't go away.